Yo, you know what's kind of fucked up? My dad posted on Facebook. He was like, "I'm not gonna have grandkids by the time I'm 50." And I was like,
"How old are you?"
Me? I'm 22.
How old's your dad?
I don't know.
50.
I ain't got 4 years.
It's not enough time, man. I can hardly talk to women at all. There was a woman who sat right next to me at Chick-fil-A, and she was beautiful, and I went to go over to talk to her, and then she abruptly left. And yeah. I don't think she noticed.
It's funny, because I've heard you tell the story, and there's more to that.
Oh, yeah, there is.
Howdy, Roundabout! All you shaggy goose egg boys, and welcome to Al Pacino's Prison Scene
Podcast.
Al Pacino's Prison Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving!
Thanks!
Oh, I'm so stuffed.
We just got done eating our Thanksgiving meal here at the Pacino quarters. Pacino
on Thursday.
I'm still eating mine.
Yeah, it is. Oh,
this is all that Claire let me.
This is my watch. It is Thursday. Thanksgiving Day.
Thanksgiving Day, buddy. We left our families for this.
That's
so. Listen.
That's right.
Take a seat
and listen.
Not gonna get you a diamond.
What movie are we doing today, boys?
Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
As humbly requested by our own Kyle. I see how I did there. I acted like.
Ooh, I forgot.
And then you said me.
Kyle.
No, you said Kyle, but you were pointing at me.
I went, Kyle.
Oh, I thought I recommended this.
I did too, and then he said.
Oh, did
it.
You?
Yeah.
Oh, Chris! Chris.
I was like, I don't know why you're pointing at me.
I thought it was you.
I mean, I think I was like, yeah, I think Chris brought
it up.
Wait. Like, we should do this.
No. This is, no, hold on. Oh my, there goes the peak. Actually, hold on.
How far we get in, like 2 minutes?
Crap. Actually, this is.
Crap?
Actually, this is Magic Mike. Remember we said we were going to do that?
Yeah.
And then I forgot to.
Yeah.
I still think we should.
Magic Mike. Pacino Pod Magic Mike. Just kidding. It's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. We got you, Kyle's mom. Nice try. Before we go any further, let's hit that recap, baby. Let's just hear a little bit about what this movie's about.
Well, this movie's about Steve Martin and John Candy having a good old time.
Yeah.
All
right. Do you want to say any more? Or, I mean, that's pretty much it. So.
Yeah, and John Hughes writing scripts in like three days, and saying, "Yeah, I'm kind of a genius, just whatever, you know." Making holiday movies. All right. Recap. Okay. So. Film starts out Steve Martin as the character Neil. Kneeling down in the office with his mouth. Never mind.
I'm just gonna say something bad.
Yes.
Yes,
we know.
It's a good thing I always rate these not for kids.
Yeah, let's cut that part out.
No.
Just jump right here. All right. Steve Martin is in his business office with his boss, and his boss is trying to. Decide on what ad they're going to use for whatever company that they are. And he's holding them up, and it's like 5 minutes of silence in the first 5 minutes of the movie. And then he lets him go, and he's like, "Oh, I gotta catch the 6 o'clock flight for Chicago, because I'm in New York and I gotta get to my family in Chicago." And then his friend's like, "Well, why don't you just take the 8 o'clock with me? You're never gonna catch the 6 o'clock." And he's like, "No, I'm gonna catch the 6 o'clock." So he goes out and he's rushing and he tries to find a taxi, and he locks eyes with this guy who sees the same taxi, and they run over there. And the other guy gets held up, and Steve Martin's like, "Oh, I'm gonna make it to the taxi." And then all of a sudden Steve Martin trips. And the other guy takes a taxi, and Steve Martin looks behind him, and he sees that he tripped on this, like, huge, elaborate trunk. And he's like, "Wait, that's weird." And then he sees another taxi. And he sees a lawyer, a dude is getting in the taxi, and he's like, "Hey, How about you just give me the taxi because it's Thanksgiving? And he's like, nah, how about $5? And he's like, okay, $5. And he's like, how about 50? And he's like, okay, 50. And he's like, how about 75? And he gives him money. He's like, what are you, a crook? And he's like, nah, close, I'm an attorney. Ha ha ha, funny joke. And so he pays him the money. And while he's paying him the money, this other guy is loading his trunk into the trunk of the taxi. And then he takes a taxi and he drives off. So Steve Martin just paid for a taxi that he didn't get to ride in. And he's like, he's upset. And so he has to mosey on over to the airport by foot. And he gets there.
It's what? The opening scene. He's like, okay, where are we at?
I have the bullet points.
We could probably play the movie over your recap, and it would sync up perfectly.
Anyway, continue.
All right, so...
I didn't say it that time.
Neil, when
he was... Neil McBeal, today. The Navy SEAL.
Yeah, hey, me 10 too.
$10 if y'all get that one.
So Neil's at the airport, and he crossed paths with this guy named Dell, who's the dude who...
made the computer.
It's John Candy. He's the John polka Candy, guy from Home Alone.
From Home Alone.
Is that one or two?
One.
I don't remember seeing him in that movie.
Wait, no. It's the second one.
The second one?
No. Shit. It's the one where they're going up from Miami. Which I think
keep going while we look.
Okay. Well, anyway, he meets this guy Dell at the airport, and he's the like, and it's John Candy, and he's mad at him because he's like, "You stole my cab," and he's like, "Oh, well, I didn't mean to." And so they get seated together on the airplane because he can't his ticket for first class was denied, and so he has to sit in coach next to Dell, and Dell tries to make small talk, but he ends up just annoying the shit out of him, and so they. Land in not Chicago, but Wichita, because it was
Kansas.
Yeah, because it was like canceled due to a blizzard in Chicago. So they're all the way over in Wichita.
Damn Dairy Queen.
And Neil doesn't have a place to stay. Most people are sleeping in the airport. And Dale's like, okay, well, as it goes from my heart, how about you come and come get a motel with me and. And so he gets in this really shady cab with Dell because there's no cabs out. It's just it's a guy that Dell knows, and he's really shady. It's essentially a sex taxi, and it is. And
Doobie.
He takes him over to the shady motel, and they get there, and then
It's a sex motel.
Yeah, it's a sex motel, and Neil pays for it because he's like, "Oh, well, you got me a cab. I'll pay for it." And so he pays for it, and then they get there, and there's only one bed, and they get really weird about it, but it's fine. So they go and they take a little sleep. But then John Candy is like really annoying. He's like, you know, making all these noises because of the sinuses and everything. And then Steve Martin gets like real pissed off, and he gets up and he blows up all in John Candy's face. What?
Don't forget about the spilled beer.
Oh yeah, John Candy spills beer. Like he makes the whole thing uncomfortable. He puts his underwear in the sink and things like that.
Well, it's like one of those beds that like you can like make it like a massager too.
Yeah, yeah.
And puts the beer. We don't see it. It's off screen, but they talk about it. He puts the beer on the bed, and then does it.
Yeah.
And then Neil McBeal, the Navy SEAL, is like. You didn't think that it would spill when you're rocking the entire bed with your massager?
And he goes, yeah. It's been a long day, man.
Yeah, so John Candy has been much of a nuisance to Steve Martin. But he's kind-hearted. But Steve Martin just blows up on him and says, you know, you're stupid. You don't tell funny jokes. You don't tell interesting stories. If I had to introduce someone to have a conversation with you, I'd say, oh, this is a great guy. Also, here's a loaded gun so you can blow your brains out. You'll thank me later.
Yeah, they basically describe Kyle.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, he's really mean about it. And then John Candy gets real heartbroken. And he's like, you know what? You want to hurt me? Go ahead. But I like who I am. And my wife likes who I am. My customers like who I am. By the way, he is a curtain ring.
Yes.
Shower curtain ring salesman.
He has like a little flip book that he has him into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's like, you know, my friends like who I am. I'm not changing for anybody. And so Steve Martin's like, oh, well, I kind of feel like a piece of shit. So they They go and they go back.
You want to hurt me?
Bed and they
go right ahead.
And they sleep together.
If it makes you feel any better.
And they spoon.
I'm an easy target. Yeah, you're right. I talk too much, but I also listen too much. I could be a cold, hard cynic like you, but I don't like to hurt people's feelings. You think what you want about me. I'm not changing. I like me. My wife likes me. My customers like me. Because I'm the real article. What you see is what you get.
I'm going to take that out and then download the clip and then put your voice over it.
Please, yes.
That'd be really funny. That'd be really funny. Okay, so anyway. They go to sleep, and while they're sleeping, someone breaks into their room and steals money out of their wallets. And so they wake up the next morning, they go to a diner, and they're trying to get tickets for a train and
or a plane
for a train
or an automobile.
And so Steve Martin looks in his wallet and he's like, "Oh shit, I don't got my money. That means you robbed me." And John Candy is, you know, upset that he's accusing him, and he's like, "Here, look at my wallet. You can see there's no more than 260 whatever dollars." And he looks and he's like, "Okay, well, it's empty. We both got robbed." And he's like, "Ah, shit." And so, they
have the hotel manager's son come pick him up.
Yeah, that's right. And he's a hillbilly dude. And
his wife birthed their first child sideways. And she didn't even scream.
Yeah, so anyway, he takes them over to the train. They get on the train. Neil rigged it to where their seats are in separate cars, and so they say bye. And while they're on the train breaks down in the middle of nowhere in Jefferson City, and they're stranded. And so they have to get...
Jefferson City...
Wait a minute. They have to travel to St. Louis by bus, and while they get when they get to St. Louis, Dale decides to be useful, and he starts selling his shower curtain rings as designer earrings so that they can get enough money. so that they can get enough money to get lunch, and they get lunch, and then. After that, Steve Martin's like, "Hey, you know, you helped me a lot, but I still don't really want you around because you're kind of annoying."
Well, he's like, "Isn't it easier to travel alone?"
Yeah, you know? he's like trying to just nicely shoo him off.
But John Candy understands what's happening.
Yeah, and so they part ways again, and then they're at the St. Louis airport, and then Neil attempts to rent a car, but finds the space at the distant rental lot empty. Which means that his car is there.
Hey, I bet it looks one up too.
Yeah.
this is a really good scene.
Oh, it's really good. He rents out a car, and the company gives him a shuttle bus to take him to where his car is supposed to be, and he looks. The car is not in the lot. And the shuttle bus is already gone. So he has to walk all the way back across the highway over to the rental car place. And he gets there, and he is pissed off. All right. And he lets...
Here we go.
The sales clerk
You can start
it.
By wiping that fucking dumbass smile off your rosy fucking cheeks. Then you can give me a fucking automobile. A fucking Datsun. Datsun? Fucking Toyota. A fucking Mustang. A fucking Buick. Four fucking wheels and a seat. And I really don't care for the way your company left me in the middle of the fucking nowhere with fucking keys to a fucking car that isn't fucking there. And I really didn't care to fucking walk down a fucking highway and across a fucking runway to get back to have you smile at my fucking face. I want a fucking car right fucking... now.
Thank you for those, Kyle.
That's the quote.
What's really funny.
It's a quote.
And then she says, "Do you have your like receipt?" And he's like, "No."
I threw it away. And then she's like, "Well, then you're fucked."
Yeah. And then he just walks away.
Yeah, then he leaves.
Yeah.
I think what's really funny about that.
Movie over.
Yeah. I think what's really funny about that is Steve Martin is primarily like a family comedy actor.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I watched an interview where they actually talked about that. We'll get into that later. But, oh, okay. So yeah, he storms out, he's upset, and he tries to get a taxi over, to wave over a taxi to take him to Chicago, but he ends up just insulting the guy because he's still really pissed off, and the guy's not very happy about that, so he just punches him in the face, and about kills him, and then Dell comes over, and he's like, hey, what you doing? And he has his own rental car, and so, in the goodness of his heart, he lets Steve Martin trek with him over to Chicago. And they're driving at night.
Oh, I've never seen a guy get picked up by his nuts before.
Yeah,
and $10 if you get that one.
John Candy is still kind of being annoying while Steve Martin's trying to sleep, and Steve Martin's getting, you know, upset again. And Steve Martin finally sleeps, and John Candy is driving along, and he tries to take off his jacket because he's hot, and he gets his jacket. He gets both arms stuck to where his arms are not on the steering wheel. And he's trying to get him unstuck, and while he's trying to get him unstuck, he just flies into the other side of the highway, and he's going down the wrong way. And then Neil wakes up, Steve Martin wakes up, and he's like, something doesn't seem right here. Hey, there's a couple over there saying that we're going the wrong way. What? And then he looks, and two semis are coming right at him. And about kills them because they go right in between them, and it just destroys the car. And Dell lights a cigarette as they're like sitting on the highway, and discards it, and then the car catches fucking fire. And Neil thinks it's fucking hilarious because it was Dell's rental car, and he's like, finally, this dumbass is like. You know, he's screwed himself over out of his own money. Come to find out...
We'll talk about that.
Okay. Come to find... Well, he's laughing because he's like, ah, he screwed himself over. But then he finds out that Dell actually kind of stole his credit card when they were at the motel because it got swapped over to his wallet and he didn't bother to say anything to him. And so Neil gets really, really pissed off and almost kills him. And they hold up. Okay, yeah, so they drive the burnt car, it's still drivable, over to a motel, and Neil uses the last bit of his money and his very expensive watch to get a room. And Dell's like, hey, I've got like $2 and a Casio, can I have a room? And he's like, no. And he's like, okay. And so he goes and tries to sleep in the car, and Neil's like, fuck it, he's gonna sleep in the car. And then he looks over and he's like, ah, that lovable bastard, okay, come in. And so they come in, they share the night together, they embrace each other, and they don't do that. And
don't do what, Chris?
They don't embrace each other. They don't.
Well, they do before, earlier in the film.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they wake up and he kisses him. Yeah. And his hand is between his cheeks.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Where's your hand? Between two pillows. Those aren't pillows! And so they resume driving to Chicago the next morning, but their badly damaged car is impounded by the police due to it being unroadworthy.
And the tires are like,
they finally make it to Chicago 2 days late, but in the back of a refrigerator truck. I'm just reading from the Wikipedia at this point.
It's got a bunch of Oshkosh Bagosh cheese in it.
Yeah, the two find Oshkosh?
Yeah, Oshkosh Bagosh. You know, like the retail store?
The two finally part ways at the Chicago L station. On the train, Neil remembers cryptic comments Dale made during the journey. And realize he may be alone for the holiday. Struck by compassion, Neil quickly returns to the station, finds Dale. Okay, yeah. So he gets on the train station.
You've already read this.
You know, it's his interpretation, Kyle.
I know. Hey, man. Had a rough week.
You're good. Keep going.
Yeah, well, we're all gonna be in war in like 5 years. So shut the fuck up. I'm so stressed.
Ow! That one's for you, Nate.
So Neil,
say hi, Nate. Get a little peek and say hi.
Oh my god, can we finish the goddamn recap? We are so fucking close. The fucking car.
Neil gets off the train and he's like, "Hey, Dell, your wife's dead, isn't she?" And
he's like, not.
And he's like,
yeah, I know.
You got me.
He was like, "Yeah, my wife's been dead for 8 years," and he's like, "All right." And so they trek over to his house, both holding his massive trunk, and they get there, those and he pillows. Introduces his family to his new friend Dell, and he and Neil kisses his wife, and they have Thanksgiving together. In the end, but there's a post-credit scene.
There is. Surprise!
Yeah,
surprise!
What are you doing here? The movie's over.
Hey, $10.
$10.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
No, Chris, it's Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
It's Ferris Bueller's
Who
Day.
Who doesn't know that though? Who doesn't know that?
I could have been referring to Deadpool, dumbass.
Ooh,
true.
Give me $10.
$10. Post credit scene is the boss from the first scene. He's still making the same decision. He's got a half eaten Thanksgiving dinner in front of him. So he's a sorry cold man. And so lonely man. And so the end.
Hold on. The end.
It went down your head and then back around. No, we still have plenty of time. What are you doing?
How much time?
6 minutes.
6 minutes? 6 minutes, I'll sit on the... Mom.
So, number one.
John Candy is Chris.
This is the first time I saw this movie.
It made me sad.
John Candy's a great character.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
Are you eating my trail mix without asking?
No.
Anyway, have you all seen the movie before?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know you have. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's been a while.
You know what I saw before this, though?
What?
Was Due Date.
It's very similar.
Yes, I was about to say that.
Due Date is... It's literally the same
it's
movie.
It's the same movie.
Except
it's funnier.
For the fact... Yes, it's funnier because Zach Galifianakis...
And Robert Downey Jr., yeah.
If you haven't seen Between Two Ferns, it's amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I watched that first, and then I watched this, and I was like, oh. Like, immediately. Oh, this is just Due Date.
Yeah.
Me,
it was the opposite. I watched Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when I was, like, younger, and then I watched Due Date when it came out, which I was still young. It was 2009.
Yeah.
But, well, I mean, I saw Due Date first, but the first time I watched this movie was actually earlier this year.
Mm.
And it wasn't until I watched it, because I watched it yesterday, it wasn't until I watched it, I was like, oh, wait, this is kind of like Due Date. And then as it went on, I was like, yeah, this is Due Date. Which is interesting.
Yeah, and I think the meaning...
It's a classic
road
trip
movie. We might
get
into this, but the meaning changes a lot based on, at least in my opinion, what they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I forget exactly how Due Date ends.
Well, he's hurt.
He's going to it because his wife is pregnant.
Yeah, I know.
I know why he's going there, but I forget exactly how it ends. Is it essentially the
same kind of ending?
Yeah.
Okay, but wasn't there a whole thing with her, like... possibly cheating on him with Jamie
Foxx's
character.
Yeah, but it didn't happen. But it was revealing his insecurities.
Gotcha.
Well, because it kind of plays into the same thing where it's like... Because we see this a lot with the wife's name. I don't remember what her name is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a couple scenes of her, like, crying.
Wife number one.
Yeah, and, like, bed and stuff. Mm-hmm. Which I... So when Dell and wife number one met, she goes... What's his last name? Smith? What's his last name?
Del Griffith.
Griffith? She goes, well, hello, Mr. Griffith. And he goes, hello, Mrs. Page.
Yeah, the way
For
they
For some
talk
reason, it felt like they knew each other.
Yeah.
Because I thought, or I don't know if I just missed it or something, but I thought earlier that was Neil's trunk that Del had. I don't know why.
But no, he just said he tripped over it.
Yeah.
When he was getting out of the car. Yeah, the wife character was kind of played strangely, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I like the stuff when Steve Martin's character was really, like, uncomfortable in bed, and you saw that she was there completely alone in a big bed, and he was in a small one with another guy. Like, I like that, but they just kept cutting to her, but she didn't do anything other than just look worried. She goes...
Well, I think there's an element of that, and Neil says this. He says, like, I should visit home more often. He says I should visit home more often, which we'll get into that, too. But I think there is kind of there, at least in some regards, to where, like, she's like, oh, he doesn't want to be around us anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what it was kind of playing at.
I wish they had kind of used that a little bit more. I mean, they certainly could have given her just, like, one good scene besides the phone call at the very beginning. Just one scene, like, with the kids, and they kind of explore that a little bit. Yeah. And then you would make it... You would want him to get there even more.
Yeah.
On their side.
The last thing I'll say before we cut, the music in this... Fantastic. Especially during those really low moments.
Yeah.
I almost cried when he went back out to get Dell. And he was, like, looking through the memories and stuff.
Yeah.
And then he saw Dell, and he was laughing and, like,
And I think that's a lot on Steve Martin's performance here. Which, like, to me, like, I hate, I can't stand overacting in comedy movies.
Yeah.
Because I think there has to be a certain level of subtlety in there to make something funny. But to me, what was really good is, like, Steve Martin's, like, you see him flashing back to all these, like, he's, like, thinking about his wife and kids, and he's like, oh, man, I can't wait to get there. Obviously, like, none of this is verbal. And then he starts remembering, like, these funny things on the trip, and he's like, oh, gosh, you know, that's crazy. Like that. But then he starts remembering specific lines that John Candy's character said. And then you just kind of see, he's like, you can see it in his eyes that he's putting it together as we're flashing to these things. Like, that was done so well. And then, like, the final confrontation, and he's like, what are you doing here? And he's like, my wife's been dead for 8 years. Like, that just, like, boom. Like, when I first saw this movie, I was like, oh, shit. Because I knew something was wrong, but I didn't, damn.
You didn't know it was that wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
All right, boys, let's get into the real juicy bit of this one.
Fucking destroy.
What he was saying.
What?
I was just gonna have him continue talking.
Oh, well, here, Nate, you can talk.
I have
take a little peek-see in here.
But I do have $11 and a Casio.
And a Casio.
He just drapes it across.
Hey, a Casio. You know, that'd be
good calculators.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're shitty watches. But they have good calculators.
Yeah.
What if he had one of those calculator watches?
I still have my TI-84, man.
I don't. I lost my calculator every year. I had to buy a new one.
You seem like the kid who would.
Yeah.
I was the kid who would.
Well, that does not surprise me. I saw your fucking backpack when we were in the hospital, and I was like, I was looking through it. I legitimately, I was like, no wonder Chris loses everything.
Were you looking for something, or were you just rummaging?
I was there for like 5 hours. I was bored.
So you were rummaging?
Well,
he was just like...
There was nothing for me to do. And like, I only had my phone, and my phone was starting to die. And then I was like, well...
Dude, what the fuck?
And then I was just like, well, what's in Chris's bag?
Yeah, this is the first Chris is hearing of this.
Yeah, I didn't tell him.
Why would you do that?
Well, I was gonna get the chips out that you put in, and then I was
what about
like
the orange peel.
No, well, that's what was funny, because at first I was like, I wonder if he has
An orange peel?
No, not this time. But I went to go get your headphones out, and then I was like, well, I look kind of stupid if I had the big ass headphones. I'm just listening to music while my friends over there.
Watching Babysitter, what is it?
Babysitter 2.
Yeah.
Oh wait, did you only see the sequel?
No, I've seen the first one. I haven't seen the second one yet.
Okay, both are good.
Yeah,
both are good. First one.
I want to talk about the meaning.
Speaking of movies, all right, Chris, what you got for this one?
This one, it come back to me.
All right, Kyle.
I think this is a movie about facades and, in part, masculinity, although I think that's a sub-theme.
Interesting.
But I think the main theme is about facades.
All right, I think you know what I'm going to say. Let's go ahead and throw a guess out there. What do I think this movie's about, Kyle?
Family.
No, I'm not Chris.
Friends.
No.
What does that mean? I was making the. I was. That was my actual answer.
You're just gonna say Thanksgiving?
No, that was the joke.
I have no idea what you're gonna say.
Oh, absurdism.
Oh well, it's not that.
Okay.
Why would it be about absurdism?
It can't be absurdist.
Why not?
Because according to your definition, which you like to tell people all the time, specifically when you're talking about a certain classmate's screenplay, is
which
that
one? Who? I tell
that was that hers very audible.
No, I say hers isn't an absurdist piece.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. It's like you defined what an absurdist piece is, like when we were talking about it, and you were saying that it's something where what happens doesn't logically track. And
no.
Like things happen for no reason is
yes,
what you're saying.
Yes.
There's no cause and effect to why things happen. And I will agree that the misfortunes don't necessarily follow a cause and effect as far as we're aware, but everything that happens because of the misfortunes I think do.
Well, follow. Sure, and that's not absurdism isn't about what comes after.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what happens.
Okay.
So like the fact that like I mean all the shit that happens mm-hmm. to Neil, that is absurd. What comes out of it is not.
Right.
But what does happen
okay.
is absurd.
Mm. Okay.
And I also think there's a bit of a and this these kind of two contradict, and I'm not sure which one I like more yet. There's also like a bit of it's a bit fatalistic almost.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is just kind of fate, destiny.
It seems that they're bound to be together.
Right, yeah. Right. And then we see and this is a film, right, with this
yeah.
narrative and a story and a script. So this could have just been written this way, but everything puts them back together, and Neil kind of has this arc that he has to go through, and it seems like Del is the only one that can push him through that.
Yeah.
The only reason why I don't want to go with that fatalistic approach is because it is a story that was written and not natural, like...
But then you could never say that any story was fatalistic.
Yeah.
So...
And I think
are meant to be.
Well, and that's kind of what I'm saying is it's kind of like, I don't know if I can totally go with that. Like
yeah.
The Odyssey, I don't think the Odyssey is fatalistic.
Okay.
But I think that maybe like something like Hercules is, something like.
Well, I would say anything with a prophecy and it has to be like Harry Potter is fatalistic. Every single thing has to have happened the exact way that it
Well, did. And then Avengers with Thanos, I think that was fatalistic as well. So
according to Loki.
Right, and that's why I don't think this one necessarily is fatalistic. I do think it's absurdism.
Okay.
Just because of that.
Yeah.
But yeah, all right, Chris.
I think that can be interesting. Yeah.
You better know?
Yeah, it's about...
Big Monkey.
Big Monkey.
That's one of my favorite lines.
No, I think that this is about how unreliable transportation services are.
You know what?
Specifically, transportation service employees.
Chris believes we should fund our inner... What is it? It's
inner city transport?
Well, think about it like this.
Infrastructure.
Think about it like this.
Inner infrastructure.
Inner tubes.
There you go.
Yeah. I was going to say something really offensive.
Think about
I don't know if I should say it.
Go ahead.
No, I don't know if I should say it.
And
it's offensive.
Good.
Well, think about it like this. You know, John Candy, he's cool with, you know, waiting to take rides and all of that, and he's fat. But Steve Martin walks a lot in this movie, and he's not.
Oh. I mean, well, I think that's just accurate.
Are you saying it's a health conscious movie?
You know what?
Well,
hey,
think about it like this.
Hey, you made an argument for that.
Well,
so
think about it like this.
You can't say it's not.
His name is John Candy.
Don't name your child Candy. That's the moral
the last
of the story.
Name.
You shouldn't give your children candy. You definitely shouldn't name them candy.
You shouldn't give them candy from Chris, that's for sure.
I like Chris's candy.
So is Claire.
Anyway,
got her. Happy Thanksgiving,
so,
Claire.
So what did you say it was again? Because I think
about facades.
Yeah. So as far as who?
I think both of them have facades.
Okay.
Now, what I think is interesting is that as I was taking notes, I thought it was supposed to be a person without a facade who is wholly who they are to the world as they are internally.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Trying, you know, hammering away at the ugly exterior of the other. Yeah. Like, that's what I thought it was, and obviously John Candy's character would be that. But, as it turns out, he was perpetuating a facade. Like, he was being untruthful about his circumstances in life.
Yeah.
And it's not just that he omitted stuff, like, he actually kind of lied about it at some instances. And I think that's interesting because... I'm not entirely sure what to say about that, but I do think that's interesting because I think this is a piece where Steve Martin's character couldn't get home. Like, he would never have been allowed to go home until he had his facades broken. And specifically, I think it's the facade of what masculinity is, or at least what this movie's trying to say masculinity is. Because I think his character, and John Candy says this at some point about, like, you know, make sure you love your wife but like your job, that kind of thing. I think Steve Martin's character is portrayed as being somebody who is, like, always at work, and he's, like, leaving the day before Thanksgiving to go home for Thanksgiving, even though he lives, like, a plane ride away.
Was that the day
before? Well, no, it was 2 days
before. It's 2 days
before. Well, right, but he is supposed to be there that night.
Right.
And I think the line I said earlier really points to that. He says, again, I'll say it again, I should visit home more often, as if to say that, like, he doesn't
do
that. Home is not where his home is. Home is his at work in New York?
Yeah. New York City, yeah.
New York City?
Yeah.
Which, to live that far away from, like, where my family is, or to work that far away, I couldn't do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's rough. Well, I mean, there are just some people who are very much like that. Well, you'll usually find them at the higher ends of the work society, but it's because, you know, they have just a higher work ethic on that, and maybe too much. But I think what the point is that there's this idea of masculinity that you, like, traditionally, that you have to have a family and you have to be able to provide for that family. And I think that's all fine, right? Mm-hmm. I think Steve Martin's character takes that a bit extreme as far as the providing for his family, that he's not able to, well, let's say, have his family. And I think ultimately what the movie comes to the conclusion of is that true masculinity is compassion for your fellow man. And I think that's something that he clearly doesn't have at the beginning, and is something that John Candy's character is able to chip away more and more and more. And I think I read this almost as something similar to the Odyssey, where, like, shit just keeps happening to him because the gods are, like, just, like, messing with him like crazy.
And Planes, it's only Trains in the Odyssey.
Yeah. That's our title.
Yeah.
And what's so interesting about that is that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, Odysseus is able to finally get home after all these things happen to him, and he gets home as a changed man. And I think, well, that's what's happening here too, is that I don't think, like, if John Candy's character had not existed in this universe, I don't think Steve Martin ever would have gotten home, because I think it was one of those things, it's like, whether you want to say it's like the gods or the screenwriter, it's like, you can't get home until you are changed, because you do not deserve to be home.
I mean, I understand what you're saying. I think he would have eventually got home, but I think,
well, logically, on a
deeper level, he wouldn't have achieved that mindset of, like, okay,
it wouldn't have been as
this long. Is home. This is where I want to be.
Yeah.
Let's take it back to Barnard right quick for a second. What, Chris? What does Ben say?
Boom. Dude, yeah. Every time you ask me that, that's the answer.
That's Tom Petty.
No.
A strong man.
There you go. What does he say? What's his?
A strong man stands up for others.
No.
But a stronger man.
Well, a strong man stands up for himself, but a stronger man stands up for others.
For others.
Yeah.
A strong man.
For others.
A strong, you gotta say it with the voice, man. Here we go. A strong man. Here we go. Ready? A strong
man. Sorry, I was harmonizing.
You gotta say it in the voice.
Okay.
A strong man.
Stands up for others.
Anyway, but yeah, I think.
Stand.
episode won't back down.
Anyway. I thought you were going to rub your mustache on the mic.
Oh, God. I can only imagine what that sounds like.
All right.
Yeah, I did not like that.
Our audience is going to get a bony.
A bone to pick with Mustache Man.
A wish bone because Thanksgiving.
You wish to what?
A bone in my turkey.
Anyway. What were you going to say?
No, I just think that's a quote emblematic of that ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Just wait, that what is? The Ben quote saying.
Oh, sorry, I forgot what the you're referring to.
Yeah. But the idea that, you know, sacrifice, right? Giving up what your selfish desires, even if he's working to provide for his family.
Hmm.
But there is still kind of that level of where it's like, I always got to be at work.
Yeah. Well, that's like a classic, like, soap opera or, like, you know, melodramatic, maybe a rom-com kind of thing. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, I need to work for my family, make sure that I provide for them. But in doing so, like, in all these situations, they're clearly well off, like, enough.
Yeah.
But it's like, in order to keep doing so, it's like you're not actually there with your family to reap the benefits of what you sow. And so I think that's where it gets, you know, dangerous, because you have to find that obvious middle ground. And I think that also relates to, you know, this movie set during Thanksgiving, the time that we are in right now as of recording.
Right.
And think about, you know, like the first Thanksgiving meal. I mean, this is when
you're talking about, like, way back when?
Yeah, I mean, like, the first Thanksgiving meal. Like,
Well, I didn't know if you meant it of today. Like, the first Thanksgiving meal, like, we each had.
Oh, yeah.
Or the one, you know.
Or, yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. You know. No. The one from a few, like, 20 years ago.
Because I hit up my mom's and then my grandma's. And then tomorrow I'm going to my granddad. It's just a
whole big
happy
thing.
Thanksgiving, you know.
Yeah. But, no, I mean, it's a... This may be bad. Was it Squanto? Who was the? Can you look that up?
What?
The Native American.
What about Squanto?
At the first Thanksgiving, I Squanto is.
He's one of
a
them.
Native American from.
He is a Native American.
He was. He certainly was. I can't remember if that's the same one at the first Thanksgiving. And I swear to God, if you say.
Oh Pokemon, yeah, no, he's dead.
Nope. Yes. Oh, shit!
Yeah, he died a little bit ago.
Yeah.
November 30th of 1620.
I don't care when he died. Was he the one at the first Thanksgiving? Or am I thinking of a different one?
I think it's Squanto.
That sounds familiar.
No, why? Won't back down.
Anyways, there was...
You know who we're talking about.
Yeah. But anyways, it's like that first Thanksgiving, it was... There was a lot of... You know, warring tensions between the pilgrim settlers who came to America and the Native Americans.
Hello, pilgrims. I am John Wayne Pilgrims.
Pilgrim.
$10. That's a good one.
Yeah. But there's a lot of, like, you know, warring tension between the two, because obviously, you know, one was encroaching on the other one's land, and there were clear, like, cultural divides on there. They didn't understand each other, for one. But it was
literally
right. But during this one Thanksgiving, there was a lack of food, and you know, with that lack of food, the pilgrims were going to starve. And it was, and I believe it was Squanto and some other Native Americans.
Squanch.
I just watched that episode recently. So
yeah.
But it was them coming over and bringing food to the pilgrims that actually saved them. And it was the first Thanksgiving. And that's what it was. It's giving thanks for other people's compassion and generosity and kindness. And that's part of the reason that it's still celebrated, is because it is a good thing to at least use one day out of the year where that is what your sole focus is on compassion.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
Providing for others who can't.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's a bit of a go and smell the roses day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I think it allows us to like you're saying, be mindful of what we have and then truly appreciate that. Because I think that Neil suffers from this, whereas he kind of, like everybody does, we forget what we have. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of those things where it just becomes so ingrained into who we are. Like you ever go into like your room and it kind of smells funky, but then you're in there for so long that you can't smell that funk anymore?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. Right.
Well, and I think that's true neurochemically too, is like it's or maybe neurochemically is not the, I mean it is the right word, but I can't remember any of the actual chemicals at the hand. But like people are really, really good at adapting. Like really good at adapting.
Watch this.
Yeah, see, now I'm fine. No, I mean, like that's just something that humans have always been able to do. Like, from the Ice Age, how the hell did people live in, like, freezing temperatures constantly? It's like, well, we started hunting really big Eskimos. Things. Yeah, so... you know, living in the desert, people were doing? Able to acclimate to oh. that, or, you know... Living in all these other areas, people are really, really good at adapting. The problem is that once people adapt to something, it is very hard for them to adapt out of that. And once you become comfortable with your surroundings, I mean, well, you don't notice it anymore. I mean, take your nose, for example. You always, when your eyes are open, you always see your nose. All the time. The problem is that because your nose is always there, your brain filters it out until right now when you're looking towards your nose and now you can notice it.
Damn, I was about to do the same thing.
Yeah.
Like, you feel how big your tongue is in your mouth? One of those things?
Yeah. It's one of those things, like, when you get used to something, it's hard to, you know, take it different. That's why a lot of people like, you know, when it's like seeing things through a child's eyes. Like, because when a child experiences something, it's new and you get an appreciation for things that are pretty mundane.
Well, and I think that that's where the practice of like mindfulness comes into. Mm-hmm. Kind of wholly being with whatever you're doing at all times.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very difficult thing to do, too.
Yeah, because people are very future-oriented.
Yeah, like focusing on the fact that I am holding this cup, mm-hmm. experiencing this to its completion, or whatever the fuck you want to call it. And so I think Thanksgiving, again, provides that. I mean, if you take it seriously, if you are even in mindful of the day of what it is,
yeah.
it provides you with that. And I think that Neil, again, has been missing that. And finally, I think that John Candy pushes him to that point where he has no choice but to remember everything that he actually has
yeah.
because he is in this position. Of suffering, mm-hmm. really, which it turns out later that it wasn't necessarily, because he kind of is like, in that, he's like, oh, you know, like you said, without him, I wouldn't be where I am right now.
Yeah.
And John Candy says this. He's like, hey, who's the guy that took care of getting you room and board? Who's the guy that told you about the hotel? Who's the guy, you know, that has this car? All this stuff. And you're treating me like this?
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, he is, Steve Martin was like paying for everything.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he wouldn't have been able to pay for it if it wasn't for John Candy.
Yeah.
So there is a little bit of like, you know, well, hold on now. On
yeah, both well, it's sides. Not completely black and white, which is right. one of the things that makes it a more interesting movie.
Right.
Yeah.
But he, when he looks back, when he's about to leave the train at the end, I think that's kind of this moment where he's like, oh, dang. Like... And this may not exactly what goes through his brain, but it's like, look, John Candy didn't have anybody to spend his Thanksgiving with.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that I'm even able to go home and do that, you know, makes all of this worth it.
Yeah.
And I think that's when he goes back, because Steve Martin's like, oh, I have this. Let me provide that for him, too.
Right. And this is something that I want all the Shaggy Goose fucks to to do.
No. Shaggy Goose Egg Boys.
Yeah. This is what I want you to do. I know that this is coming out on Saturday, and Thanksgiving was but a few days ago, or, you know, a few hours ago for
but
us.
But we're recording this on Thanksgiving Day.
How much more time do we have until we're wrapped?
All my family is... They're at, hey, Mom.
Hey, Jake.
Hey, Mom.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, son.
Hey, Dad. Shut up! Okay. Okay, love
see,
you.
See, they're back there. Yeah. Right? Look, but, I'll even... Can I...
But seriously, this is something that I want all of you to do. It's a common tradition for people around the dinner table on Thanksgiving to give thanks for one thing in their life that they're truly thankful for. I think that's a good idea. I want you to do one better. When you say what you're thankful for, explain why. Justify it. Because if you say something that's bullshit, like, I'm thankful for my family, why?
If you say, if you do that, I'm going to go, don't give me that bullshit line. Hey, $10.
$10. You know if you know. Oh, God.
I hope he never listens to this.
Yeah, that'd be funny. But no, seriously, justify not only, not only to yourself why you said something, but, I mean, I think you should always be able to justify why you say something, but... Justify to other people why it is you are thankful. I think that's part of this day. Is it's not just being like, oh, you know, I'm thankful for, you know, this meal out here. Well, why are you thankful for the meal? Seriously, why?
Well, I think...
You're
I
not
think,
starving. Why are you thankful for this?
I think the purpose of doing that, and, you know, you can disagree with this, but it's... So when you verbalize the initial thought, I'm thankful for my family, right? That does deepen that gratitude. Then and there, because you're taking that moment to say it. But I think when you explain it, you are, number one, you're truly thinking about it, mm-hmm. right? But
that's what I was getting to.
You are actualizing it as well. You're making it, you're bringing it from your subconscious to the very front of your conscious.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I keep going back to this train scene, but I think that's, again, that's what Steve Martin is doing here. He no longer is like, I got to get back to my family. It's Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. I got to go back. You know, that's what you do. It's. He goes back.
He goes, why do I do this in the first place?
Right. And yeah. then he's thinking, he's like, oh, that's why.
Yeah.
And then it gives him that final push.
Well, and again, what's really strong about it is that when you share the table with people at Thanksgiving, generally speaking, they're some of the closest people to you, right? Whether it's your friends or your family, whatever. But I think what's so important is that I don't think we take a lot of time to tell the members of our family why we're glad that they're there. And I think it's important not only for familial bonding, but also just to remind yourself, why is it that you're glad that these people exist? Because you are, whether you realize it or not. I think most people are. I mean, obviously there are people who have bad, you know, families for sure, but I do think that's something that's really important. I think that's something we should all try to do, is to justify why it is that we have so much.
Well, and even go further than that too. Let's say you don't have a great family. Think about where you are as a person today, and then find the good in your experiences, because I think that's something that John Candy does. You know, his wife has been dead for 8 years, yet he is living. And at least he's trying to live life to the fullest to his means that he has. Yeah. You know, he always tries to be nice to people. He always tries to be kind, more importantly. But he always takes care of people, too.
Yeah.
Even though there is no one to care for him.
Yeah.
So even if you do are in these bad circumstances, we'll take a look and try to find why it's good that you're here and how you can improve upon that too.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, even if you don't have a family that you can actively say you're thankful for, I think there are plenty of other things that you could be thankful for. But not only that, it's like, not only should you be thinking about where you are right now, well, if you're not somewhere you want to be right now, maybe this is a good time to reflect on what it is that you can change. Because I think a lot of the issues that you may have are, well, they're issues that you and you alone can solve. And I think that's a lot better than saying that I can't solve these things, because, well, that takes all of the ability off of you to make your life any better. And I think it starts with noting what it is that you can appreciate, explaining why it is that you appreciate it. And then from there, well, you find what it is that's lacking, and you explain, why is it lacking? What about this to me is not as good as I wish it could be? And then, well, maybe you can
take a look at yourself and then make the
change.
Na 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 na. I'm gonna make a change. For once in my life.
Going through changes.
$10.
Time may change me,
but I can't change time.
With the man in the mirror.
Ow! I'm looking at David Bowie. See, I did that like I did.
And nobody wants to see Jake in the mirror.
Sorry, I was silent.
When he stands in the mirror, everybody sees that he's fucking ugly.
Ugly.
Sorry, I was silent. I was typing up the rap.
He's joking. The raps are always freestyle. No.
Not this time. I gotta make it special.
Okay. No, it's a freestyle, Chris.
Okay, it's a freestyle.
It's a freestyle. You know what else is a freestyle? Yo, Ma. Alright, you Shaggy Goose Egg boys. I hope you're having a good Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving weekend, enjoying the break and whatnot. I think we said a lot about this episode, and I think that we've kind of reached out as well towards
something
we've presented a message and a call to action, which I think what? I think is this the first time we've done that?
A call to action? Yeah, yeah. I think so.
But I do think it's important for this episode specifically, because I do think that what Snakes on a Plane, Trains and Automobiles presents, I meant to make that joke at the beginning, but I forgot to. What this movie presents, I think, is maybe not this highest echelon of thinking, like we talked about before, but I do think it has the potential to be one of the most important messages, to truly appreciate what you have no matter what your circumstance is. So for that,
'tis the reason for the season.
Here's for that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to like, comment, and subscribe, and make.
I want you to watch all of our stuff,
and then tell everybody about it.
Spend time with your family.
And you know what? I will be thankful for you. And here's why. Because that's making us more popular.
I'll give you a shout out if you get our faces on the internet more.
Yes, please.
Yeah. Please. I'll give you shout. Everybody shout.
Jake will sleep with you if you do that.
Yes. Like, but like John Candy and Steve Martin, butt to butt.
Right. Not.
And then he'll wake up and kiss your ear.
Yeah. No, no. Stop it. Yeah. Stop it. We're not talking about that.
Stupid.
Stupid.
I hate you.
Whoa. Kyle, are you okay?
No! Sorry.
Did that girl leave you on red again?
No, she just didn't show up for the date again.
Oh, damn. But you know what, Kyle? I'm thankful for you.
Sorry.
Did you read any of that?
No.
Stop being so secretive about it. It makes it worse.
It's my baby.
So, there were... Oh, well, there was a fire.
A car exploded.
Did it explode or was it just
It exploded. It exploded.
Well, again, we disagree on what an explosion is, but yeah.
You know what? I'll give it a 3.
I'll give it a 0. That way it rounds out to 1.5.
Steve Martin exploded on John Candy a few times, so.
I'll give it a 3.25 for that.
For my joke or for the...
For the explosion. Okay. You're right about that.
Okay.
I don't... That counts, but Plo Koon doesn't count.
We don't see Plo Koon explode.
Well, he's Plo Koon.
We literally do.
No.
Because he does this and fire crowds around him, and then it goes to wide, and the thing is
we see the ship explode, not Plo Koon.
Oh, my God.
All right, we ready?
I'm not done yet, Chris. Okay. Again, because we don't use the Twitter. I'm not going to tell about that. Make sure you leave us a review. We haven't been telling you to do that, but make sure you do it because that helps the algorithm. The Lord of Algorithm helps us help you get better content, even though it's already perfect. So
on YouTube, you leave a review on YouTube. Yeah.
And Apple Podcasts and Spotify or wherever you find your podcast because that's where we are. Basically everywhere. Mm-hmm. I had to put in all the RSS feeds. It was a lot of work. Do me a favor. So go ahead. You know what? Go ahead and email us what you're thankful for on this Thanksgiving Day.
Yeah.
2 days ago. We want to know.
For Christmas.
Oh.
Yeah.
We want to know. We want to know. So, and that is PacinoPodcast@gmail.com. And now, it's the time you've all been waiting for.
The only reason you tune in.
And wait an hour to hear.
Give me a beat, boys.
And free my soul.
And free my soul.
Well, hold on. What's the thing? What's the thing? Chris,
What?
What's the thing?
What do you mean, what's the thing?
Well, are we all three going to do it at the very end?
No. Okay, there's a chorus, and you'll hear the chorus when I say it.
Okay.
And I do the chorus in the middle of it, and then I end mine with the chorus. So the second time you hear the chorus, I'll pass it on to you.
Is there a third time?
Hmm?
Is there a third time for the chorus?
We'll come back. Okay, here's what we'll do. When you're done...
You didn't answer the question.
When you're... Yes. No, not for me. But when you are done with your verse, do the chorus.
I have a verse?
And then hand it over.
Yes.
Because I'm going to hand it over to you. When you're done with what you're saying, we'll just go to the chorus, and then you hand it back over to Kyle.
God, it would have been nice to plan this out before we hit record, but somebody was against that.
Kyle does what he does, and then Kyle...
What am I doing?
You are doing a verse.
Am I freestyling?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't get that part.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. In the middle of mine, I'll have the chorus, and then I do the rest of mine, and then I do the chorus again. Okay, after that, I hand it to you. When you are done, do the chorus, hand it over to him, and then we all do the chorus, and then we're done.
Okay, yeah. I got one.
All right. Okay. You guys ready? Give me
Hold
a
on,
beat.
Wait, I'm thinking.
Need some time? It's not a freestyle if you think about
it.
Did I say it was a freestyle? Did I say it was a freestyle?
Precedent would hold that it would be a freestyle.
Okay.
That's why George Washington, that's why presidents only have two terms now.
Just tell me when you guys are ready. Are you writing something?
No.
Oh, okay.
I am.
All right.
You all right. Ready? If you guys actually, can we break because I need to pee? I'll give you guys some
Oh my
time.
God. No, we don't have time.
Okay.
No.
All right. Fine.
Let's go.
All right. You guys ready? Al Pacino boys back in the scene. It's Thanksgiving time, better eat your greens. I'm not talking Shrek, but I'm hungry like an ogre. Help yourself to our spread, cause it isn't mediocre. We got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. We got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. Dropping feels, it'll have you weeping, getting real sad. Gag reels make you laugh and cringe, joking like a dad. Plum crazy, please discard the pig, cause I can't eat the sea. Now excuse me while I take a shit in Jake's toilet seat.
What's the chorus?
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. We got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles.
Give me the turkey, boy, and free my soul. I wanna get lost in the mashed potatoes and drift away.
Give me
the cranberry and free my soul. I want to get tossed in that stuffing roll and die because I'm too fat because my belt popped. We got beans, green, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. We got beans, greens, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles.
Planes, trains, and automobiles tickle my nuts and make me feel good is what I like to do when I'm over and taking number two. We got greens,
beans, tomatoes, potatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. We got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, planes, trains, and automobiles. Stop sauerkraut!
Stop sauerkraut! I fucked up those last two lines. It destroyed the whole thing.
So
God damn it.
That entire time.
Tickle my nuts and make me feel.
That entire time it was just peaking. Look at this. Okay.
Okay.
Merry Thanksgiving.
Thanks for Christmas. Thanks for give me Christmas. Thanks.
Thank you.
4th of Thanksgiving, July. February.
God,
it would have been perfect if I didn't fuck up that last part.
Well, God.